Welcome to this Faith and Fandom Feedback Friday, Friday Feedback, whatever this show is called. Hope y'all are doing well. It is Friday, March 14th, 15th. Yes, I don't know times, dates, or places. Please forgive me. It is Friday, March 15th, and here in scenic outskirts of Richmond, Virginia, because I don't have an, I'm not about that life that I can stay in the city. And I'm here for GalaxyCon Richmond and staying just a little bit out of the city. Had the lovely choice privileges, continental breakfast, and gathering to talk with y'all for a head out to the con this morning. And yeah, it's gonna be a good weekend. I hope y'all are doing well. We are live on Facebook for y'all that are listening later. So if you are on Facebook, feel free to comment, interact, share, chit chat as we go through some things. Lots of stuff that happened in this past week. First off, the Oscars were this past weekend. I think I was driving home from Lexington, Kentucky when the Oscars took place, and lots of big things happened at the Oscars. First off, Godzilla won its first Academy Award in 70 years of existence. And it won for Godzilla Minus One for visual effects. Now, this is also just impressive because Godzilla Minus One is a movie that costs less than $15 million to make and won Best Visual Effects. And so I think we should keep that in mind, what standard we're holding ourselves to, but also how we're doing it. Because, you know, we're working the Spider-Verse people to death, and studios are like a Rockstar are like hardcore going at the people that are making GTA 6, yet they can make Minus One for $15 million. I think we just need to be patient with people and not rush quality, because that makes a big deal. But yeah, being patient with people makes a big difference. But Godzilla Minus One won for best visuals, as it should have. It was beautiful. It was a really well done story. And I'm grateful I got to see it in theaters before we got there. But Godzilla Minus One got the Academy Award for that. There were some other things, not shakeups, but you know, not surprisingly that Spider-Verse didn't win solely because it was up against The Boy and the Heron. Oppenheimer won for Best Picture, also not surprising. While there are other good things there, I mean, Oppenheimer kind of took the cake for what was really killing it. One thing that is pretty impressive is that Billie Eilish won her second Academy Award at the age of 22, making her the youngest woman in history to win two Academy Awards by that age. So that's impressive. But not only is she the youngest woman to win two Academy Awards, she is the only woman to win the Triple Crown twice, meaning that you get the Oscar, Grammy, and Golden Globe for the same song. That's the Triple Crown. You get a Oscar, Grammy, a Golden Globe for the same song. She got that two different times. And so that's pretty impressive. So not only is she the youngest person to get two Academy Awards by 22, she is the first person to get the Oscar, Grammy, and Golden Globe for the same song two different times. So good for her. That's impressive. I meant, do you remember what your life was like at 22? Because I wasn't on my second Academy Award or Golden Globe or Grammy at that point in time. So that's the thing. So congratulations to Billie Eilish for that. Beyoncé has announced that her country album is coming, and it will be called Act Two, Cowboy Carter. So that is a thing. And from what's up, Rushmore? Good to see y'all. Turtle Power? I need to turn that down. But yeah, Beyonce announced that her country album Cowboy Carter is coming. And from a report I read, Dolly Parton said that she was excited about it, and she is under the understanding that there will be a cover of Jolene on Cowboy Carter. So if that floats your proverbial boat, just know that there is a Beyonce cover of Jolene on the way, along with everyone else. On the empowered young women state of things, Taylor Swift's The Eras Tour officially hit Disney Plus yesterday. So if you didn't go to theaters and pay a fortune to get yourselves a popcorn bucket and all the other things that came along with it, you can now watch the 3 hour plus Eras Tour on Disney Plus with added songs. I can attest that this is out because my teenage daughter was dancing on the hotel bed doing choreography with her flashlight out on her phone. Like, she was on stage for the better part of an hour last night. She had fun, all good times. But that is out. So if that is your jam is available. In a really creepy slash, I don't. This makes me more nervous than Elon Musk doing something or Mark Zuckerberg. Hey, Rosa, listen to this. The creator of Ready Player One has debuted an open world battle royale experience. The dude who created Ready Player One is creating an online experience for battle royales. The guy who wrote Ready Player One is creating Ready Player One. That scares me because I'm like, I know where this story ends up. I've seen what Book Two does. And while the idea of living in the Oasis sounds fun, the idea that the guy who wrote a sci-fi book about something is now making it happen worries me just the littlest bit. But yeah. So that is a thing. Oh, another thing that happened at the Oscars. Another thing that happened at the Oscars was that John Cena presented the award for best costume design, air quotes, naked. Now, what you saw was him like with a card covering his cash and prizes, and but he really had like a little pouch and a booty cover on the back and everything. But it's just so weird what we go to extremes for award shows. And I know that if you actually dig deeper into it, there's something to the effect of he was doing the nudity thing at the award show to also draw some attention to a clothing designer strike for movies. But either way, it was weird seeing John Cena walk on stage with a cue card or with an envelope. Yeah. 600 Activision workers, the video game company, have formed the largest video game workers union after following some layoffs that left many video game workers unemployed. So, they actually took the time to form a union and are doing some big things with that to try and make sure that other people don't end up in the same place they were. Hey, Tristan, thanks for joining us. Whatever. Within the other side of the world time that you're on. If you have ever taken a touristy trip to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, once upon a time, there was a giant pinwheel, not pinwheel, Ferris wheel in the center of Myrtle Beach that was eventually torn down to make a more pretty environment. And they put up a giant zip line thing. It is now closed down. So I've seen two lifetimes of tourist attractions officially destroyed at Myrtle Beach. Some other stuff to say. The X-Men 97 cartoon series will be dropping next week, which will officially pick up from where the X-Men cartoon of my youth left off. But what's kind of hardcore and a little bit crazy is that the showrunner, the guy who created this whole series, and wrote all of next season as an outline, has was let go, was fired, just a week or so before the show dropped. And that's not a great sign. That's not a great telling situation. But the showrunner was fired from Marvel just a week before the show actually came out. I'm sure we'll be able to read more into that in a little bit later. But it's still weird and not encouraging to see that. On X-Men news, well, let me get this while I'm there. If you've ever listened to the Pool List podcast with me and Chris Poirier, you've heard us countless times make jokes about how many X-Men reboots there are. Guess what? There's an X-Men reboot coming in comics. Starting this summer, Marvel's Mutant Family is officially rebooting after the fall of the House of X, and it is ending the Krakoa era, which has been around for the last 5 years of comic book storytelling. And what that's going to mean is that they are starting over, and there will be three main X-Men books. There will be X-Men, Exceptional X-Men, and Uncanny X-Men. Now, out of this set, I really only care about Uncanny X-Men because Uncanny X-Men is going to feature Rogue, Gambit, Nightcrawler, and Wolverine. But why I care is because it is going to feature the return of Gail Simone to writing for Marvel. Gail Simone is one of the best Marvel Comics writers of all time. She's one of the best writers, period, of all time. DC Comics, Marvel, independent, everything. Gail's one of the best. Gail will be returning to Marvel proper, and she will be writing Uncanny X-Men. But just to point this out to you as well, is not only are there going to be three main X-Men titles, there are going to be six. Oh, thank you, Tristan. You're like three books only. That's what I was about to tell you. There are three main X-Men titles and six branch off titles. The branch off titles will be Phoenix, X-Factor, Storm, Nyx, X-Force, and Wolverine. So you will have three main X-Men titles and three branch off X-Men titles that will be there. All I know is I'm going to be here for Uncanny X-Men because Gail Simone's writing Marvel characters, and I will throw down my comic book dollars for that all day long. So that is happening. Fun nerdy fact. I was having dinner with my daughter and Ashley from Fangirling Over Jesus yesterday, and we were walking through the streets of Richmond, Virginia, and we had a recollection that this time last year, Zachary Levi was on an Instagram Live protesting the discouraging reviews of Shazam 2 and effectively blaming The Rock for its failures. And his Instagram Live would be rerun by TMZ and things like that and all this stuff. So a year later, it kind of looked like a year ago, it kind of looked like Zachary Levi was having almost a career meltish down. So encouraging on the other end of things is that just this week, Zachary Levi had two big projects announced. One, there is an action thriller called Hotel Tehran, and Zachary Levi is going to be playing a kind of brutal, hardcore, spy-ish action hero person. So, A, good for you. And here's B, to go from Hotel Tehran to his other project that's, they're promoting already, Harold and the Purple Crayon. If you've ever watched or if you've ever read this children's book in like elementary school or read it to your niece or anything like that, there's a book about a little kid with a purple crayon. I remember watching like a cartoon show about it when I was a kid. But Harold and the Purple Crayon is getting a live action movie where it appears that Zachary Levi is playing Harold all grown up. So two new Zachary Levi projects announced this week. And I don't know if you're interested in Harold and the Purple Crayon. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go watch it. Y'all know I love Zachary Levi, so that is happening. There's been a lot of announcements in terms of The Chosen season 4 on streaming and why the theatrical run stuff happening. Creator of the show this past week said that the reason they did the theater stuff wasn't just to milk the experience. It was the simple fact that they've got to be able to. The Chosen was always planned to be a 7-season story. And the theatrical runs are literally to pay for the finishing of the next couple seasons. They said that out of all, because you can watch The Chosen for free on the Angel app, which I've definitely watched all of season 3 that way. They said that out of all the people that watch the show, only 5% give to the funding of it, which means 5% of the people that watch it pay for it, which is staggeringly low. So that the production in theaters isn't just to, do extra. It's literally saying we need to be able to finish the story. So while The Chosen is on their own Cody Rhodes experience, that's why they said there was a delay in things with that and just the legal aspects of being able to do that. Also on shows struggling to get past their season 4, Snowpiercer. If you're familiar with the sci-fi movie slash action thriller show, the original movie starred Chris Evans. The series stars Daveed Diggs of Hamilton. And season it was canceled, but it has been picked up. It was canceled by TNT. It has been picked up by AMC. So if you are a fan of Snowpiercer, you're going to be able to watch that on AMC. That is coming for you. And in terms of other stuff that's getting canceled and making returns, Neve Campbell has officially returned to the world of Scream. If you weren't aware a little bit, few months back, there was some social slash political trouble with some of the stars of Scream 5 and 6. And the two young ladies, one of whom being Jenna Ortega, where the older sister character got into some trouble that left her in a bad place with the studio. And she lost her role as the main character of Scream 6, or after Scream 6, which put the story in a weird pattern of what to do with Scream 7, because they were literally two movies into a trilogy and lost two of their main characters that aren't people you can recast. So they have gone back to the proverbial drawing board with that, and Neve Campbell is officially returning to Scream 7. And what makes this unique is that the writer of the original Scream, Kevin Williamson, is going to be directing it. So not only are you getting the original writer of Scream coming back, you're getting Neve Campbell coming back as she was the protagonist. I feel like if they're going to do this route, she's probably going to be the villain. But, it's whatever. And other weird comebacks that you might not have expected. Mike Tyson has officially agreed to fight Jake Paul in a boxing match on Netflix in July. It is currently considered an exhibition, but Jake Paul is in the process of trying to get it made into an official, licensed, sanctioned, recorded boxing match. And while a fight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul doesn't sound like it's going to be super fair or legal, it gets kind of weirder and worse. The stipulations of the fight include Jake Paul gets to wear protective headgear. Mike Tyson doesn't. So that's just weird on its own. The 30-something-year-old can wear protection, but the 60-year-old can't. Shenanigans. And then also, and I wish I was making this up because it sounds bonkers. Also, Logan Paul can be tagged in for a time period to help Jake fight Mike. This went WWE real fast. And then the other thing is that there are no regulations on the performance-enhancing drugs that Jake Paul can take, while Mike Tyson still has to hold to boxing standards. So shenanigans, shenanigans all over the place. If you're interested in that, that will be on Netflix in July. It will be live streamed for the whole world to watch at once, which will be nice. Because I just don't anticipate this being something that like lasts forever. And speaking of people, speaking of Logan Paul has also officially brokered a new deal for in-ring sponsorship of the WWE mat, like the literal canvas that people get like suplexed on and everything. Starting at WrestleMania, I believe, which is in 2 weeks. Or 3 weeks, somewhere in there. It's the week after Easter. Starting at WrestleMania, Mike Tyson needs a mouth. Listen, if anything like that, or sorry, Tristan Burch said Mike Tyson needs a mouth guard so he doesn't bite off anyone's ear. All I'm gonna say is that if anything of that nature does happen, it's going to further propel the Paul brothers into stardom for the rest of eternity. But Logan Paul has officially sponsored the floor of the WWE. So during WrestleMania, there will be a giant Prime bottle painted on the floor of the matches. So that's a thing. Also, some other stuff in terms of video game news. If you've heard me talk, listen to the podcast, Red Book 9, anything like that, one of my favorite games of 2023 was a RPG called Sea of Stars. It was an independent Kickstarter project that has strong Chrono Trigger vibes, Final Fantasy III vibes. I love it. It was my favorite book, one of my favorite games, favorite stories of a game. They've just reached 5 million players, which for an independent game is a really strong showing. And in celebration of that, they're going to release a three-player couch co-op mode, which means three people will be able to play at once from the same location on the same screen for an RPG. So you'll actually be able to cast your spells and just your spells, or do your move and just your move. But in terms of moves and defense, all three of you would have to time out your moves to make it work properly. It's just kind of a cool concept, and it's something neat, and it's just kind of a reward for that. There is still an upcoming DLC with the Watchmaker that is planned, but that's, you know, en route. Medical news, which is just, you know, not always the thing where I cover, but in medical news, Jeremy Camp, Christian musician, dude with giant biceps. Jeremy Camp had heart surgery this past week, for, you know, you can go into the details so I don't say something medically wrong about his heart, but he had some problems with his heart and had heart surgery and is recovering from that. Baseball legend Daryl Strawberry suffered a heart attack this past week. And while he is doing well, he's giving God praise for surviving said heart attack, but he's also asking for continued prayers for his healing and recouping. So Daryl Strawberry is asking for your prayers. If you are a praying person, he would like you to pray for his recovering heart. With that, let's see, we're a couple things left to tell you. Yeah, let's go with this. If you are a internet person at all, it's probably you've probably heard of all that's going on with the US Congress in terms of TikTok. There was a vote on the congressional floor to ban TikTok in America unless it is sold from its parent company to someone else, specifically in America. The TikTok ban received 352 votes to ban on the congressional floor. That's 82%, sorry, 81% of Congress voted to ban TikTok. And if you watch Schoolhouse Rocks, you know this is just a first step in getting there, for that to be a thing. It's not over yet. But 352 people on the congressional floor voted in favor of something together. 81% of them voted to ban TikTok. That is the most united our government has ever been on anything. Like, that is the most united our government has ever been on more than childcare, more than medical issues, more than human rights. Our Congress has never agreed on anything as much as what it looks like to ban TikTok. So that's a crazy thought that that's the one thing that our government can get behind, is that banning TikTok is the one thing that would bring Congress together. So, okay, that's really how y'all feel. While I do enjoy TikTok and I enjoy the creative freedom, and I've made friends, I've had experiences, I've had a lot of good, I've enjoyed TikTok in some ways. Well, I am not someone who's financially profited from it. There are lots of people whose jobs have become what they do on TikTok. I was looking at my friend Danny from Ace Blade. Danny has sold more books on TikTok than I've ever sold books, probably. And that's, well, yeah, probably that might be a fair statement. I'm not sure, but it's somewhere in there. So this is going to affect a lot of people's livelihood outside of being in an entertainment situation. But more to come with that. Superhero nerdy news. Venom 3, also starring Keeley Jones from Ted Lasso, has officially been titled Venom: The Last Dance. And while I don't think we're going to get a pop lock battle between Venom and Carnage, it does kind of sound like they're d riding off into the sunset for this one. But Venom 3 will officially be called Venom: The Last Dance. Batman 2, the Pattinson, Robert Pattinson Batman film, has been delayed a full calendar year. Batman 2 will officially now drop in 2026, one full year after its original release date was planned. Peacemaker season 2 will be filmed almost simultaneously with Superman. And season 2 of Peacemaker will be DC canon. Season 1 of Peacemaker is no longer DC canon. It is part of the DCEU. So season 2 moving forward of Peacemaker will be DC canon and probably have a bit of a tonal shift in what they're doing with it. And if you are a fan of the Smash Brothers knockoff by Warner Brothers Multiverses, where you could fight with like Black Adam and Harley Quinn and Bugs Bunny and Batman and Scooby-Doo and all those characters, if you're a fan of that video game, if you'll know that it has been offline since June of last year, and it will be relaunching on May 28th. So Multiverses will be heading back to your gaming platforms of choice on May 28th. And if you are that type of nerd, McDonald's currently has Multiverses Happy Meal toys. So if you want your Wonder Woman slash Velma combo pack, you can go pick that up at your local McDonald's. Last little bits of news. If, as we mentioned, I think last week, Sting, the wrestler, retired from his wrestling career. He will make his first public appearance since retiring this weekend at GalaxyCon Richmond, which is at the show I'm actually at. So Sting will make his first post-wrestling thing. On comebacks that you may not have expected as well, NSYNC made their first public concert appearance since 2013. Wednesday night, Justin Timberlake was having one of his concerts for his tour, and NSYNC all joined together on stage to perform for the first time since 2013. So that's an interesting thing. And for the world of zesty flavors, I just feel like you need to know this. Ran there is officially a Cheez-It brand ranch coming. Ranch dressing that's Cheez-It flavored. You've been told. And Wendy's has announced that they are dropping an orange creamsicle frosty. So, and listen, the frosty from Wendy's has been a classic thing forever. I don't think it's needed a lot of extra love, but they're going at it. They're swinging for the fences with this one. But that is going to be about it for me in terms of news. I hope you have a wonderful Friday. We're about to head over to the convention center and prep for the day. Make sure our booth is all nice and set up. We set up yesterday, but a lot going on. Want to make sure we're being good booth neighbors and all that jazz. Before I go, I want to take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters. And Patreon supporters, y'all also be have your eyes peeled. I'm going to be sending you an update in our on the Patreon page in a little bit. But Colin Sproles, Jamie Montgomery, Matthew Coleman, Jonathan Herman, Ron Petit, Tesh Norton, Gear Saber Cosplay, Scott Ward, Alicia Benson, Alicia Glenn, good grief, man. Candace Davis, Jay Shee, Jillian, Jason Crutchfield, Mike Perna, Todd Turner, John Jacobs, Zach Harris, Caleb Grimm, Jeanette Skaggs, Chris Poirier, Jason Bullock, Christina Ray, Sarah Lewis, Patrick Gale, Rebecca Godlove, and Adam Davis. Thank you all for your support, your encouragement, and helping make all of these things possible. Derek Benson says the chocolate frosty is the best. I like the vanilla, especially for fry dipping. Alicia, listen, I get it. I get it. Married, like it's the name things are weird. Here's the thing, I should just know better. I should know when I do it, but there literally comes like if I'm mailing you stickers, I have to like hold on, which name do I put here? And I literally have to go to Facebook to be like, okay, it's this one. Because they blend in my head too. And I'm not the one living with it. So no harm, no shade, no foul. But thank y'all for supporting. Just realistically, last weekend was a big travel show, over 1,000 miles of travel, over 20 hours on the road. As I went through that show and in the aftermath of that show, I 1,000% realized I couldn't have done that show without our Patreon supporters. So thank you. Preparing for this show, couldn't have done this without our Patreon supporters either. So thank you for all that you do. We have Geek Church on Sunday, and I believe we have a discussion panel on Saturday. I hope the discussion panel is not today. I need to double check that. But I think the discussion panel is on Saturday, Geek Church Sunday morning. And I'm gonna go ahead and head out and get ready for the con. I hope y'all have a great day. Thank you for taking the time to listen, to share. And if you're listening to this on the podcast channel, take time to rate and review it with all the love. Yeah. And if you're on YouTube watching this, give it some likes and stuff there as well. And thank y'all, and y'all have a great day.